you're still Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
So tell me about this party you had. Your son just turned 14.
Right. My son, Phil, Jason J. Delmonico, just turned 14 last weekend. And what happened was I thought it would be fun to hire one of his little female classmates to dance for him and his buddies. Now, she's very talented. Her name is Amir Forrester. She's 14. She wore a full-body catsuit, a leotard. And for fun, what I did was I gave all the boys there, there were about 20 boys there.
All right.
And I gave them all dollar bills so they could do what they see the big guys do. And I showed them how to fold the dollar. And it was interesting for the boys. And then I sort of pretended that I was a man. And this was a little embarrassing for me, but I showed them. I sat in a chair with my legs open, the way the guys do it. And I showed them how to make eye contact. And you put the dollar bill into the top of her leotard. So what I did, I showed the boys. I think they really learned a lot. And it's very important for us to try to get our men to respect women. And so many of the parents don't get it. It's just the fact that they don't understand or really feel they don't want to understand.
Well, wait, how old are these boys? They're 14?
They're 13 and 14.
So they're learning how to respect women. What you had was a simulated what? Lap dance?
Well, no, it was a sim. They want to do what the big guys do. And what I did is I turned the tables. I said, all right, if you want to do what the big guys do, let's have one of your little female classmates in. She wore a full-body catsuit. This is something I want to keep in mind, and I want everyone else to keep this in mind. She did not at any time take her clothes off or anything else.
What's a full-body catsuit? Is that a... What is that?
It's a full leotard. The women listening know what I'm talking about.
All right, so she wasn't removing clothes, but the little boys were there, and you gave them dollar bills so that they could pretend like they're in a strip bar?
No, what I... Let me back up, Phil, so that...
Well, that's what they're pretending to do. They're pretending like...
They want to be like the big guys, and what I wanted to do is show them how they could be like the big guys and at the same time respect women. See, Phil, so many young men learn about women by pulling their hair, pulling a bra strap, calling them ugly, making fun of their bodily demands. We need to teach our young men how to approach a young woman with a modicum of respect. And the gesture is, I love the way you dance. Let me offer this to you. It's called gratitude.
Well, if the guys want to do what the big guys do, it's called a tip.
It's called, in your world, but what it really is with the boys at Jason J. Delmonico's birthday party, it was, I really like the way you dance. Here's a dollar. And
But you folded it up for them, and they were putting it down her leotard.
The very top of their leotard. They were not putting it at a G-string. They weren't putting it at a bra.
All right, well, there were two complaints from mothers and fathers. Actually, there were two complaints from some mothers. One from a mother and father, a boy named Ryan Norman.
I know Ryan. He's a very nice boy.
All right, well, his mother said he came home and tried to put a dollar bill down her dress. Isn't that right?
Phil, I talked to Ryan's mother.
Well, she said he learned it at your house.
Phil, here's the thing. You know something? It's an interesting thing when you deal with other parents and other children. Some of these kids are not that intelligent. And there's an old saying, Phil, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Now, I told the boys this was a gesture of respect and gratitude given to a woman who has performed a dance for you. You don't put it in your mother's dress. And if the Norman boy were just a little bit brighter, you know, because the boys talk about him, he's a little slow. Then he'd know that.
This was a strip bar thing.
No, I don't call it that. And I really resent being questioned this way. It was teaching the boys how to utilize this rite of passage so they can have some fun with a female classmate. And I don't know what all went on because I left, I did some shopping, I picked up the birthday cake for Jason J. Delmonico.
Now, how long were these boys left alone with this 14-year-old girl dancing in a leotard for them?
I really resent the question.
Did you not leave them alone?
I left them alone, but I know what the inference is, that something happened and nothing happened.
No, I'm not saying anything. How long did you leave these boys alone, 14-year-old boys?
Yes, they're all the same age. They're kids, Phil, learning how to somehow make their way into manhood. I think we really need to respect them and to feel sorry for them.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. Margaret Gray has joined us, nationally syndicated columnist. Her son had a 14th birthday party last weekend where she hired a female classmate to dance for him and 20 of his buddies. in a leotard and do what the big guys do. She folded up dollar bills for them, and they could put it in her leotard.
And again, Phil, they put it in the top of the...
They put it in the top of the leotard, all right. The other thing, you didn't tell me how long you were gone.
I was gone to pick up the birthday cake, and I got some Hormel hot dogs and some potato chips for the boys. It couldn't have been more than a half hour.
So the kids were left at home, unsupervised...
Excuse me?
Unsupervised, having a simulated strip show...
Excuse me, it was not... This is the thing, and if you'd let me get a word in, Phil.
Go ahead.
You don't get it, and a lot of the parents don't really get what parents like myself, enlightened parents, are trying to do. We're trying to give the boys a respectful rite of passage, and at the same time, we're trying to show them how to respect a woman.
Do you think guys that go into it...
Don't say strip bar.
All right, I mean...
Because it was not a strip show.
It was a 14-year-old boy sitting around. And what do you mean you sat down with your legs spread and showed him how to do it?
I said I was pretending like I was a guy. And I had on capri slacks, and I sat down the way men do.
Well, what do they do?
Well, they sit down, and they hunch down, and they take a dollar bill out, and they wave it around... And I had a mirror, and what I did was Frank had one of his cigars. I got a cigar out of his humidor. I had it in my mouth, and I had the little girl. I don't know what you're asking.
And you had the little girl what?
I had a dance between my legs, and I put the dollar bill in the leotard. You don't get it, Phil. You don't.
You, in other words, did exactly what the big guys do at a strip club.
They did not. This is a rite of, in other words, Phil, you don't really get it. You don't really get it. These parents don't get it. And what you're doing is you're confusing the kids.
All right, I don't get it, and maybe I don't get it, but you had a dance show. Well, help me get it, okay? What is it that you're doing? You say you're teaching the boys respect for a woman.
That's right.
So the dollar bill that they stuck in her leotard was to say thank you for the nice dance?
Yes. They're not asking her to take any clothing off. They're not asking her to do anything else other than to dance. The boys were able to emulate me and my man routine so quickly because they're actors. And as you know, Jason J. Delmonico is a young, aspiring actor.
No, I know that the kids that he hangs out with are all child actors and they're all professionals. So you say they picked up on this pretty fast.
Yes, and they didn't demand that she remove any clothing. They were whistling a little bit when she danced by. And I told them, you can't slap her on the rear end or anything, but a lot of them would take the dollar bill and run it up her leg and things like that. That's what we do. And that's how you move a child out of childhood into manhood in a respectful way that doesn't include nudity, that doesn't include sex, and yet at the same time lets young boys pretend.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number on the Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray talking to us about her son, Jason J. Delmonico. Karen, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I just want to say, Ms. Gray, that when I'm listening at first, I thought it was a hoax because I cannot understand how you would let a room of 14-year-old boys be alone with a young woman of that age and think that they know how to behave.
So every one of them is suspect, then?
No, they're not suspect, but if you read the news, please let someone else speak. If you read the news, that people at 14-year-olds already, not everyone, have issues and there are problems and that it's unacceptable and you are establishing a strip club which is not respectful to women.
Well,
in fact, strip clubs are not.
I don't think you know that these are good young boys. They're not, I don't know what kind of young people you're around, but these are good boys. And no, it isn't a strip club because the girl wasn't taking her clothes off. She
having
was
a woman dance in front of boys for money is not respectful.
Why? Why?
Because really it makes her a sexual object.
So what if she likes it?
Well,
wait a minute.
She's a child, so
she's a child, okay?
A lot of women do that.
A
lot of women do that for a living and make a wonderful living at it. I'm not turning her into a sex object, though.
I have to disagree that turns a girl. She's just a child.
Well, you know, I don't know. You don't get it. There are a lot of people that just don't get it, Phil.
All right. I don't know what she doesn't get or what I'm not getting, but what was the music?
She danced to You Could Leave Your Hat On, and another song called All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, and it was really fun.
All right, this is the song that some of the mothers told me, All I Want for Christmas with My Two Front Teeth. Didn't she come out with a milk bottle?
You know something, it's really unfair, Phil.
Didn't she come out with a little milk bottle?
She came out with a baby milk bottle.
and she was squirting the milk all over herself.
She squirted it on a leotard. Why are you turning this into something filthy?
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth, and she's squirting a milk bottle all over herself. I'm disquieted by this. Her father, Mark Forrester, thought, by the way, that you were auditioning her for some ballet. He had no idea that she was dancing for 14-year-old boys.
Let me tell you something about Mark Forrester. I know him very well. He's a good man. He's not that quick on the uptake. Some people just don't get it. And it's important to teach boys respect for women at an early age. These parents and you, Phil, you don't get it. Now, I have two interviews in New York next week. One of them is with Judith Reagan, who happens to be one of the top publishers in the business. So if these parents want to talk to me, that I have a limited window. This weekend we'll be out of town. I can talk to them on Tuesday, and that's it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is one of these areas that's a little gray for me. She had a birthday party for her son, Jason J. Delmonico. He's a child actor, 14 years of age. And the kid had his buddies over. And then she had over a 14-year-old female classmate, and she danced for them. And Margaret folded up dollar bills for the boys and showed them how to put them into the leotard of the little girl as she danced around. She says this teaches the boys respect for a woman. I like your dance. Here's a dollar. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Talking to Margaret Gray, and the column you'll be writing tomorrow is concerning some... you've got a birthday party for your 14-year-old son. You had a 14-year-old girl dancing at this thing, and she's dancing, she's getting dollar bills from the boys. They're putting her in her leotard because she's not stripping. You don't say this is stripping.
I resent the fact, Phil, that you don't get what I'm trying to say.
Well, explain to me what it is you're trying to say. How is this young lady not being manipulated into being a sex object, even if she's 14 and these boys are 14?
She's learning how to control men. She's learning how to get what she wants from men by way of the dance. I didn't say dance. I said the dance. And what I mean by that is the Isadora Duncan classic the classic dance, which is expressive, which speaks to, tells a story. And I think that Amir was telling a story, a 14-year-old girl telling the story by way of the dance, but not the dance.
So she's doing an art piece.
Yes.
And these guys are sticking dollar bills in her leotard because...
Because they're appreciative of this. Now, I showed the boys how to be respectful. I sat down... I told them the first thing you don't do is put your hands on it because the lights will go on, the jukebox will shut down, and you know there's going to be police at the door. So
oh, okay. These are all things that are prescriptions from a strip bar.
When they move into manhood and they find themselves appreciating the dance, yes. So I sat on my hands, I gave her a 20, she gave me what I guess you would crudely call a lap dance, but she stood between my legs. And I said, this is how you do it. There was no stripping, nothing.
This is how you do it. She stood between your legs. How much money did she make that night?
Well, that's another thing. About $400.
$400 this kid made from you, your son, and his friends.
Okay, Phil. I'm sorry, Amir, for you making $400. Is that really? Is that the stupidity that we're reaching now?
All right, wait. 1-800-449-8686. I wanted that number to just get out there. Hold on for a minute, Judy. Let me get to Becky. Becky, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Becky, go ahead.
Yes, Phil. You know, obviously she's saying that we're not getting it, but the problem is here that she's not getting it because she's thinking that
you
the world is
it.
Wrong and she is right.
You don't
she
get it.
She is not right. I mean, she's deliberately contributing to the delinquency of minors here, and I'm glad that my child did not attend that birthday party.
Wait a second. How am I contributing? The boys
How are you not contributing to the delinquency of a minor here? You are teaching a 14-year-old. Listen, Margaret, there are certain passages in life that a child has to go through.
Yes.
And once they reach an adult age, then they're entitled to do certain things that they want to do. But at the age of 13 and 14, that is not a passage. message that neither a male or a female should be taught.
Hey, Becky, this is Phil Hendry. I want you, Becky, to ask me, doesn't this music, now this is a song, Margaret, that you were playing for your son's birthday party while this girl danced for the boys. And
which song is it?
You'll hear it. I want Becky's impression as to whether this song sounds seductive and sexual or not.
What's wrong with that?
Hold on for a minute. You know this song, Becky?
I do not know.
Listen to it. This is for a 14-year-old kid's birthday party while a little girl dances.
It's an innocent song called You Can Leave Your Hat On, and it's... Listen to this.
Take off your coat, you can leave your hat on. This is a strip song.
Definitely so.
Oh my God.
Margaret, you need to get with the program here. I mean, if my child would have attended your party and she would have come home with $400 that she made at your party, there would have been an investigation going on.
Wait a second.
I would have not stand back and let this happen.
I
send my children to parties unsupervised, thinking that they're going to be, you know, taken care of in the manner that I would take care of anybody else's child. Like I said before, this is contributing to the delinquency of a minor, number one. Number two, excuse me, you had your time, give me my time.
And don't make fun of the lady, all right?
Well, she said, okay. She said contribute.
Pardon me?
You said contribute.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Never mind, Becky. Go ahead with your point.
Bottom line is that there are certain passages in life that a child takes at certain points in their life, and I don't believe that a 13- and 14-year-old need to be exposed to this. There's enough things going on in this world right now that we don't need to be exposing them to the other things that they can get into later on as they get older, if that's what they choose to do.
I let her give me the lap dance so I could show the boys how you do it.
I think it's disgusting. Let me ask you something, Margaret.
Yes.
Does her mother know that she made $400 at that party?
Look, who's going to be any the wiser if we don't tell her? The point is that
what do you mean who's going to be? What is that
and
about?
And then we're trying to have relationships, open and honest relationships with our children. But who's going to be any wiser if we don't tell her?
Well, wait a minute.
Wouldn't want my child going to your house for a birthday party, Margaret.
Who needs to know the kid made herself a little extra money on the side?
I would like to know as a concerned parent.
You're going
to
squeal?
What do you mean squeal?
Well, she's not the girl's mother.
Well, let's say the mother of this girl, Mrs. Forrester, doesn't she need to know that that this girl made $400 by guys sticking $20 bills down her leotard?
You know something, Phil? We've now reached the point where a young woman can't be entrepreneurial and make money for herself.
We're talking about a 14-year-old here.
That's where we live, in the 18th century. Thank you, Becky, for taking us by the throat as women and dragging us into the past.
As a firm woman, I like to be respected and not degraded.
Listen to this. You can leave your hat on.
Baby, take off your coat. La-da-da. Big deal.
Thank you, Becky, for your call. Our number is 1-800... Yeah, I'm sorry, dear. I lost the call there. We got about a minute left in the hour. We'll get to more phone calls after the break. 1-800-449-8686. A lot of people are calling in and saying, how can you not compare this to a strip club? The girl gave you a lap dance. The boys are sticking the dollar bills down her leotard. You're playing songs like You Can Leave Your Hat On. You're playing All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth while she squirts a simulated milk bottle all over herself. How can you not say that this isn't a strip club?
What happens in a strip club?
Margaret.
What happens in a strip club?
Men watch women dance.
And women control them by getting the money out of them. That's what I taught that little girl, and that's what those boys learned. You respect her. You like the way she dances? Fork up. The bigger the bill, the bigger the thrill. Now, all of it...
The bigger the bill, the bigger the thrill. Let's strip talk. Strip club talk. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I gotta tell you, this is my daughter, She's never going over to your house. You got my daughter, 14 years of age, and she comes over, and even though she's in a full leotard, she's dancing for 14-year-old boys, simulating an act in a strip club. You know, to me, she never visits your house again.
And she made $400 in tips.
I don't care. It teaches these boys, hey, here we go.
And it teaches them. Let me tell you a little story, Phil, before you go to a phone call.
All right, very quickly.
The heads of the biggest studios in Hollywood are women.
All right, what does that got to do with it?
I'm going to tell you the story. Shelley McCrory, head of comedy at NBC, over at NBC Studios. Sherry Lansing, I don't think I even need to say who she is. Kate Adler, Kara Coslow. All of these women, very big names in Hollywood and in television, at one time or another had their legs wrapped around a fire pole, my friend. And I'll tell you something else.
Well, just because...
Women start out in these jobs because it teaches them control over men. Let me tell you something about Nancy Reagan. She was the first lady of our country. I love her. I consider her a dear friend. She, in the 40s, danced at a club called the Westport Kitty Cat Club. She still holds the record for shooting a ping pong ball 53 feet across the...
Wait!
Well, Phil...
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you that women start out in these jobs.
Nancy Reagan shot a ping pong ball 53 feet.
You got it. And you don't like it, do you? You don't like it because it undermines your point of view.
Nancy Reagan in the 40s was in movies.
In the late 40s. In the late 40s. But she was a dancer.
1-800-449-8686. Judy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes. I just have a question as far as she seems to be insulted or upset to the fact that you compare this to a strip club, and she says that she's teaching these young men how to treat young women. What other situation in life would they ever treat a young woman this way other than going to a strip club?
When a woman does something for you, you show gratitude. And it also teaches the young women how to control a man. How to give them your best and show them what you got so you can see what they got.
If a grown man goes to appreciate the dance, say at a ballet or at a museum or any other kind of artistic performance, they would show their gratitude by maybe donating to the ballet group.
Well, that's a good point. Thanks for your call. Here is Sam on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey.
She was really dull.
Hey, I've got an 18-year-old son, 16-year-old daughter, 10-year-old son. My 16-year-old daughter is rather developed than she was when she was 12 or 13. Now, this lady here would have offered her, without me knowing it, to go in court because how dare her, or this lady here, assume that she has the right.
Wait a second.
I invited her to a birthday party and she showed up. My point is, how dare her assume she didn't take her clothes off. How soon to teach my kids, any of my kids or any kid, some rite of passage? I mean, that's not fair. I mean, that's taking my parental rights away.
Well, I'm listening to you right now, Sam, and it sounds like somebody needs to sort of do that for
you. Let me finish, okay? Let me finish.
Go ahead, Sam.
She has no right to do that unless she comes to me as a parent and say, hey, can we do this?
But if I come to you as a parent and I don't have a lot of confidence in you...
Then what the heck do you have even do it? What are you saying? I'm a bad parent.
Well, I may get my kids better. No, I may get
you one. Don't. You can't teach my kids better.
May I answer?
Go ahead.
I may get one look at you and say, you know what? I think I better make the decision here.
Who died and left you, boss? Golly, woman.
Well, wait a second. Wait a second, Sam. I mean, with all due respect, are you sure you're capable of deciding whether you're a good parent or not?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
All right, what if I disagree with that?
That's fine, that's your prerogative, but don't try to push your rights on me and my kids.
But if I have the well-being of your children at heart and I take one good long look at you and I get some bad vibes, I may have to...
Okay, then what happens if I take a real long look at you and say, man, this lady needs to be in the mental ward, I'm going to go to the courts and take her kids away.
How are you going to do... Oh, you... you go to the courts and take my kids away.
Well, what's good for you is good for me.
You know, the only lawyers they got in the Yellow Pages
are drug
drivers. How
dare you tell America or anybody that, look, just because 20 parents plus a girl's parents, 21 parents, you guys aren't fit, so I'm going to teach your kids what needs to be taught. I mean, what you're saying is you're right and 21 parents are wrong.
Can I ask you a question? This may seem ridiculous to you, but one way I judge a good parent is off of the number of his teeth, and you may think that's funny, but if you can't afford to take care of your own teeth, do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, well, that's good, because my son's got had braces. He's got perfect teeth. My youngest son now is full of braces.
No, you.
And I've never had to have braces. I got great teeth.
You never could afford braces.
No, I got good teeth. I don't need braces. So, woman, you're crazy. And
no,
the thing about it is everybody who's calling is coming against you and telling you you're wrong, and yet you're not.
Well, you sound to me like you've got more relatives than teeth. And
all right, now you're dipping into the material, the joke material. Let's stick to the point.
Yeah. The point is, I would ask this lady,
yes.
I would ask Miss Margaret here to sit back and think, well, maybe I'm wrong here. Yeah, and playing that song.
That song is a strip bar song.
And, yeah. And
you know something, let me ask you a question. How would you guys know?
How would we know?
Yeah, I'm really curious. How would you know that strip bar? Oh, see, so Sam has sat his tired country ass down in a couple of these joints. But he doesn't want his son to have the same right.
No, he doesn't. Neither do I.
At 14 years old, and especially
and my daughter,
done by another parent. I'm teaching my son. You may tell you how I teach my son to respect women.
Do your kids have a bedroom or a tent?
Okay.
The way I teach my son to respect women is I open the doors for my wife. I give my wife a big hug in front of my kids. I tell my wife I love her in front of my kids. And to respect women. You know, and
yes.
Respect women, open the doors for them, and say thank you, and all that fun
and
stuff.
Stick a dollar bill in their leotard. What is wrong with that when it shows
empowerment? I'll tell you exactly what's wrong with that. Men who go to strip bars or in a simulated act like that, what you're doing is you are looking at the woman as a sexual object. If I go to it, like the earlier lady,
honest with me. Haven't you written a phone number down from a toilet before? Haven't you seen a number on a toilet stall and written it down?
If I go to the Don's and I see a woman doing the
Have you
the
been
Don's,
to the Don's?
You say it, that's awesome. That is really cool. And that's what you should have done. If you wanted to teach them something, have her do something that was neat.
Have you been to the ballet? Do you know ballet? Do you know the Don's?
Actually, I'm a percussionist and I'm a musician, so yeah, I'm very well aware of the artist.
You're aware of so you know Isadora Duncan?
No.
Oh, really?
But I know
Martha
a lot of musicians, Maynard Ferguson and Count Basie.
You're a jazz musician. All right, look at Sam. I'm going to move on here, take a break. I appreciate a lot of very good questions
Thanks,
that you asked.
Well, you know, again, I might take a good long look at both of you and say, you know what, I'm just going to have the kid come over anyway.
You do that, you take a good long look at me and you have my child come to your house, and you would go to jail. Thank you for your call.
Oh, so now you threaten me with jail. This is how far we've sunk as a race.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Has she made any point that's even the least bit credible here? Respect for a woman by sticking a dollar bill in her leotard, and let's start her off at 14, dancing for 14-year-old boys. And then she shows the boys how by letting this kid give her a lap dance. And Nancy Reagan holds the Westport Kitty Cat Club record of shooting a ping pong ball 53 feet. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. We're talking about the propriety of a 14-year-old girl, even though she's clad in a leotard, dancing for 14-year-old boys at his birthday party with the consent of one of the adults. Now, this is what happened, Margaret, at your home. And
I also, again, resent the fact that there was anything obscene.
I know she wasn't taking her clothes off, but the whole message is the sort of lap dance thing, which you say empowers women.
And the other thing, Phil, she got tired. This Amir...
Amir Forrester was the little girl.
Yes. She got tired. I said, darling, why don't you go in the, into the kitchen and get some Kool-Aid? And we had some soft drinks for the kids. And so as a joke, I went out and I did some dancing for the boys.
How old are you?
That has nothing to do with it, Phil.
How old are you, seriously?
Well, I'm not going to answer that question.
Well, you're an adult woman, and you have 14-year-old boys there, and now you're dancing?
I gave her a break, and I did some tasteful dancing. I don't know if you're familiar with Bob Fosse, but I just did some, the minute you walk in the room, I could tell you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, because that's, hey, big spender, spend some time with me. I was wearing some capri slacks. I had a bathing suit top on and some pumps. It was very tasteful.
Okay, and you were you weren't dancing sexy.
No, I was doing a Bob Fosse, the minute you walk in the room. I thought the kids loved it.
14-year-old boys watching some Bob Fosse, were they giving you money?
They were putting dollar bills in my pocket. It was really harmless. What you don't understand, and again, I gave these boys a taste of, they went from Joe Cocker, you can leave your hat on, to the minute you walked in the room. Woo, I can tell you.
Yeah, okay. Trish Ann, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
I'm totally enraged. Take a call. Producing a...
Maybe we can get this lady to... Trish Ann, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, Ben, that's better because your phone's breaking up badly.
Say I know, I'm near the airport in Miami, so...
Go ahead, dear.
This lady needs to go sharp.
Okay, well, we can't use the call. You might find... Get her to pull over, will you, Chris? Get her to pull over. Here is Shira on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, hi. My husband and I have been listening to this, and we are appalled. Margaret, I have a question for you. What are your credentials? And when I say that, I ask as a parent and as a human being.
I'm not going to answer that stupid question.
But I think that's a fair question. If you consider yourself an adult and responsible parent...
What are your qualifications as a human being?
You want other people...
Were you born or were you hatched?
How many teeth do you have in your mouth? I guess that's the question.
What are your qualifications as a human being?
Well, gee, I consider myself... I would know I would never do what you did.
Oh, well...
I mean,
gee,
think about it. 14-year-olds, honestly. Now, I have a couple of questions. You said that this is bringing women back
I beg your pardon?
To what we have now. But I truly believe that you're the one who's ruining feminism. So
is
I guess that makes you a very strong woman.
Is that a question, or what is that? That isn't a question.
Excuse me, ladies. No, my question was, what is your credential as a parent and a human being?
What is your credential as a human being?
I just told you. I feel that I am a good person, that I would never do this.
Well, that's not a qualification. I can't take your word for that.
But how can we take yours? Okay, the proof is in the pudding, correct?
Here's the proof. It was at my home. I gave the party.
Were those all of your children?
No, they weren't.
Well, then that's the point.
I'm glad you finally got to the point.
And you should lose your house. And you should lose everything.
Really?
What
law are you basing that on?
I think they need to tie your tubes in a really tight knot.
Well, you know something, darling. The only thing tied in a knot is your underwear. And I tell you what.
Do you teach people how to be like you? I would love to sign up and be loose like you.
Oh, yeah. Would you? I'll give you my home phone number.
Please do.
Okay.
Look, I want you to know that poor girl...
251-3189. You call me.
You ruined
that
poor girl.
I'll teach you how to get something through your rear end other than a camel straw.
Okay.
Thank you. No, but can I honestly speak for one moment? Because I do consider myself a civilized person.
If you want to speak intelligently, yes.
Honestly, thinking of this poor girl, she has to go back to school.
I give as good as I get,
and face her peers, and the fact that we know her name, in school, she is ruined forever. And you did this
to her. Really? Is that right? Well, let me tell you something, Shira. You don't know what you're talking about because you don't know her and you don't know the school.
Okay.
Secondly,
well,
you should have seen those boys' faces when I pulled off a triple back. Those dollars were flying toward me.
Not that it matters because she's 14 and she's a minor.
Well, then why ask the question?
Well,
then why ask the question?
No, I would like to know. Did she say...
out of curiosity? Sick curiosity that you have, or do you really care about the child?
I really care about the child because I am a good person and a mother.
You are a good person, and I'll bet you have the dollar bills in the collection plate to prove it, don't you?
I challenge you. I would love one person. Please, everybody listen to me. I would love one person.
I'd like you.
Who even remotely agreed with this woman to call in.
I'd like
and
you
I would
to meet
bet you $1 million that I would win every time.
You know
time
something? I would like you to meet. Well, I don't base my opinions on popular opinion. I base mine on my soul and my heart. But if you'd like to take
well,
a vote on whether
no
you're
soul,
right or
no
not,
heart,
Sheriff.
There's no opinion
well,
in
you know,
there.
If you'd like to take a vote on whether you should be existing in this earth and breathing the air, you go ahead and do that.
Okay,
I don't.
I would like to know, though, do
listen,
you know
Princess
that you are
Diana,
training these boys for crimes against women?
No, I tell you what, why don't you go help the legless, Princess Diana, because
you
got
all
the
answers. Do you know
that,
though? That you're why don't you answer my questions? Are you training to become a politician?
Are you Clarence Darrow?
Are you training
I bet
to
you don't even know who Clarence
Why
Darrow
can't
is.
Why can't you answer my question?
Why can't you answer my question?
Are you training these boys for crimes against women? Because this show is about you, not about me, honey.
No, this show is about you. You called in.
Are you
and
training these
you,
boys
I'm
for crimes against women?
Training these boys for crimes against women.
Yes. I want to ask you a question.
I don't know.
If you left,
let me ask you a question.
When
When's the last time you came running at your son with your robe open?
What would
Wait
happen
a
at that
second,
point?
Ladies.
No, I want to know. When's the last time you came running at your son with your robe flying open?
Never, because I am
Well,
not
I,
like
I, are you sure?
I am nothing like you, and I am thankful to pieces that I am nothing like you.
Hang up.
No, I said you
said
should
to
hang
no,
up.
No, I said to hang up.
I have more to say than you
No,
do.
You have nothing to say, because I've gotten you good every time.
You
I've
have?
Had a good comeback every
That's
time.
That's why I feel like I'm the victor.
Mr. Hendry,
Can
is the
I
host
ask
there?
The DJ here?
Is the host
say?
There?
May
I'm,
I get,
I'm right here, yes.
Opinion?
Phil, didn't I get her good?
Look, at ladies, I think what this has been just one big chop session, as we used to say as kids.
Yeah, but
I
the
got
thing
a good
is, the
though.
Difference is I have
yeah,
something
no,
to say
but I
that's
got
worth
you.
Saying.
You didn't say anything. What did you say other than ask stupid questions?
Would you like me to repeat everything I just said?
Well, please don't
I
ask the stupid question like,
you,
what are
though.
My qualifications as
I
a human being?
I have one
being?
Thing to say to you.
Oh,
Obviously,
thank God, she actually has something to say.
Right.
You actually have something to say. What is that?
Obviously, I'm getting you angry because I'm right.
Well, no, you're angry. You're staying on the phone.
No, I'm staying on the phone because
By the way, God help your poor husband. God help your poor husband.
Well, thank you. Are you still married,
God
or
help
did he kill
husband.
Himself?
Oh, that's now that's angry.
Oh,
that's
curious.
Angry. That is really angry.
I'm
Look,
just
ladies.
Curious.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Where do you get the hair on your back shaved? Because
I don't
like
know. Where
know,
do you go? Because I would love to go where you go.
Do you know that I could snap your neck with my thighs?
I bet they're really big and fat, and they could probably suffocate
Very
me
muscular.
Too.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll ask your husband. He's the last head that was between them.
Okay, that's it.
But you know what? That
That's
would explain
it.
Why he likes why he throws up a lot, I guess, huh?
Well, he's living with you, so there's one explanation.
Okay.
But
the
I
point
tell you,
is,
look at ladies,
I'm
this
dealing
is...
with a child.
I know you are, but
child.
What am I? I know
I
you are, but what am
you
I?
You need to be raised by people
yes.
who could treat you. The that man that
That's
said
my name.
That you
Don't
need to
wear
go to
it
a
out.
Institution, right on the money. And I guarantee you that all of your teeth added up. I don't know.
Come
I,
on,
I,
think of it, Shira. Come on, you were doing pretty good there for a while.
She's very young.
Hello? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
She's giving up, Phil. This is really boring for me.
I'm
oh, look,
at
both
up.
Of you were doing this silly little chop session.
I know you
the
are, but what
is,
am I?
Though, I have things to say that I
Can
feel
Can I ask a question, Shira? Is that Arabic for bitch?
And,
all right.
And, okay, putting the chop session aside,
yeah, putting the
I am
chop
frightened to
aside.
Know that people
well,
like you
I,
exist in this
you know,
world.
The thing
I'm
that I think
frightened
about
to
you,
pieces.
I'm frightened to pieces to know that there are people like you out there in the world. You know what? Forget it.
Oh, I'm not worth it?
No, you really aren't.
Then
I've got so
Thank
much
you.
Good material.
Goodbye. Have a great
I've
night.
I've got so much good material that I've ever wasted on you. You boy. Oh, I can't.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
G. Hawley, Vice President of Syndication for our program. I'm having a birthday party this weekend, right?
Yeah, but you didn't tell me about your birthday party, Phil. Who's invited, whether there'll be a band, what you'll be drinking. All of these details are important for us to know because we have a right, as your employer, to know the intimate details of your life.
And that I don't understand. Why can you monitor my behavior at work? Okay, I understand why you can monitor my behavior at work, but why can you monitor my behavior at home? My time is mine.
Your time is yours, but as your employer, I need to know what you're doing with it.
Well, what about other people?
What about other people?
What about other people and other people's jobs?
Let me explain something to you, because you and I always have this conversation. You're an entertainer. In the entertainment business, a lot of people rely on you for their employment. You make a lot of money. You entertain a lot of people. There's a lot of advertisers. There are a lot of sponsors. There's a lot of listeners. There's a lot of people that work for the radio station, all depending upon your success. So what about other people?
What about the other guy, the guys out there that are lawyers, the people out there that are driving bottled water trucks?
Those people are... The difference between you and them is they're interchangeable. And I say this with great respect, but if they die, let's say the average guy listening to your show right now gets beaten to death in a bar fight or is in an automobile accident, his family is going to be upset. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
But you can stick another guy in that job tomorrow, and the culture doesn't miss a beat. But if we lose a guy like you, or we lose a guy like Rush Limbaugh, or we lose a guy like Michael Reagan, or people like that, a lot of people notice it. That's why we need to keep tabs on you, a talk show host and an entertainer, more than we do on some guy that's, and I don't know what you want to call, a guy that's plumbing a building, or some guy that's a carpenter, something like that.
Well, you know that I've always been against this because it feels like it's an invasion of my privacy.
Well, let me ask you something, Phil. What's wrong with us knowing whether you're being treated, for instance, for venereal disease or whether or not you've got a drinking problem? What's wrong with that?
Why do you need to know whether I'm being treated for venereal disease?
Look, if you are not, if you're running around with some woman that isn't your wife, you catch the clap, you come in, and you're sick and you suddenly die, that affects us. If you're running around out there and you have a drinking problem, I didn't know you were having a birthday party. Nobody had the common decency to tell me. Are you serving booze?
Yeah, we're serving booze.
What if you get sued? What if you get someone pregnant? What if you get into a fight and there's an assault charge?
First of all, I'm not the only person I could get pregnant is my wife because I'm faithful to her. And secondly, I can't get her pregnant because I had a vasectomy, all right? Thirdly, if somebody gets hurt at my home, that's a lawsuit against me.
No, it calls into question the publicity of the entire company. If you beat some guy almost to death at your party tomorrow night, that becomes a major piece of news. Okay?
What makes you think I'm going to beat somebody to death at my party?
You get enough booze in you, you might beat a man within an inch of his life, and then that becomes a major headline. So I'm telling you now, and I'm going to say it very calmly, I don't want you drinking at your party on Saturday night, and I'd like to know, and I seriously want to know, Phil, if there's any incidence of venereal disease or any...
I'm not going to... Look it.
Let me ask you something. We get to know what you're doing. We're not going to tell anybody. It's between the employer and the employee.
The fact of the matter is, I'm not going to beat anybody half to death, and I don't have venereal disease, and I'm not going to make a big, big problem out of this, and I don't know why it is Phil Hendry, because he's a radio personality, has to have his employer up his rear end, and everybody else listening to me right now, all out there in America, no matter what they do, they don't need this. And I think it's a little insulting for them.
Why?
Well, you're basically saying they're all interchangeable parts, but because I'm a talk show host, whoa, man. You know what I've always said about that.
Yeah, I know. I know how you've denigrated and run down the very business that supports you. I know how you bite the hand that feeds it. I've heard you do it before, Phil, but the fact of the matter remains. The people that listen to your program, wonderful people, good parents, nice people. These are all interchangeable parts. These are people that can get, forgive me, the average housewife out there could get hit and drug 100 yards by a steamroller tomorrow, and while her children will miss her, the rest of the country is going to know about it. But if you get into a bar fight, and somebody breaks a bar stool over your head, and you die, a lot of people know about it. Now, I'm going to tell you this for the last time. I want that email log, and I want it on my desk.
You want a log of every private email that I've sent from my home?
Yes, that's right.
Other employees of other companies don't deal with this, but I have to.
Because they're not in the entertainment business. They're not in the entertainment business. Why didn't you tell me about this birthday party?
If I told you about the birthday party and invited you, can you promise me that you won't go through my wife's personal effects?
I can't make that promise.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Last year at this party, you went through my wife's underwear drawer.
And besides, you have no right to tell me that I can't go through your wife's things if I think it's important.
What does my wife's underwear drawer have to do with my employment?
First of all, lower your voice. Lower your voice.
What does my wife's underwear have to do with my employment?
Everything in your home affects your performance on the job. And if your performance on the job is in any way substandard, then I'm the guy that has to justify your employment. Now, that's why we had to come on here and talk about this.
1-800-449-8686. most of you probably don't know, but I have a rider in my contract that says that I have to report every detail of my life to my employer, which is fine. But none of you out there have to put up with this, and that's probably even better, except for the fact that, according to Mr. Hall...
Well, what are you doing? Are you explaining me to them? Let me explain it. I'll say it to everybody listening. As important as you are to your families, as important as you are to your spouses, as important as you are to your friends, you're not that important in the overall scheme of things. You're not well-known. Mr. Hendry is well-known. If he gets into a bar fight...
Why do you keep going with this bar fight thing?
I'm talking about moral behavior. If he gets into a problem, everybody's going to know about it. You people, nobody knows about it. You can die tomorrow, and no one will know. Few will ever know you were even here. Few will even care that you were here. But if Mr. Hendry dies tomorrow, many will mourn his death. That's why we got to make sure that he isn't running around getting genital herpes or whatever it is that he gets, because these guys...
So everything with you boils down to me getting into bar fights and getting venereal disease.
Things that reflect badly publicly, yes.
1-800-449-8686 is our number. I personally find it offensive that he says that everybody else out there is just a worthless piece of crap that isn't going to get any publicity when they die. But me, on the other hand, I get into a problem. What is it we're actually asking here? I'll tell you this much. The guy was at my house last year going through our personal effects, wants me to call him every time that I have a party, every time that I have a sickness, every time that we're going out of town. I got to give contact numbers and everything else. 1-800-449. And the other comment you made, David, are you there? The other comment about my personal life?
You are so selfish with this. Do you know that your personal life affects me? Everything you do affects me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
David Hall, our Vice President of Syndication on the Phil Hendry Show. So my life is under a... You're telling me that somehow I'm more important than the average person out there.
Look, I'm not telling you you're more important. I'm simply saying that there's more money invested in you than the average guy out there.
So the average guy that's listening, the average woman that's listening, there's not so much invested in them, so people don't have to pay as much attention to them. Is that it?
That's it. That's it in a nutshell.
Well, what has that got to do with anything? What has that got to do with anything?
That's why we have to know where you are and what you're doing at all times. When you went to Fiji, did you leave us a phone number? No. When you went to Hawaii, did you leave me a phone number? No, I had to track you down. When you go to Santa, wherever you go with your wife, do you ever leave phone numbers?
Why should I have to leave a phone? I'm on vacation.
I just explained it to you, you idiot. There's a lot of money tied up in you. You understand that? And if for any reason your show goes in the crap can, I got to go in and explain it to a lot of people. Now, I'm coming to your birthday party tomorrow. Or what is it?
It's Saturday night.
I'm going to be there. I want you to have tax records out. I want you to have the health forms out that I asked for 2 weeks ago. I want to see all medical records. And yes, I want to see your wife's medical records as well. And by the way, let me ask you something. How are the kids doing in school?
They're doing fine.
All right, I'm going to want to see their grades.
This is unacceptable, all right?
It's in your contract.
I don't think that's in my contract, having to see my kids' grades.
And by the way, you know something, Phil? I lose money on you, I don't get my pool pebbled. I lose money on you, I don't get to buy that new house.
This is really all about you. This is really all about your money, and this is really all about...
By the way, Maria's mammograms, are those ready or what?
You wanted them for the last 10 years?
Yes.
I don't know if we can get them for the last 10 years.
Say that again and say it slowly. What?
I said I don't think I can get my wife's mammograms for the last 10 years.
Well, then you're a liar, too, as well as a thief, right?
I'm not a liar.
You told me you could get your wife's mammograms. What about your prostate X-ray?
I got that from Dr. Himsel, yeah.
All right, I want the mammograms, I want the prostate X-ray, and I want to be at that party on Saturday night to find out how much you're drinking, how much your guests are drinking, and if there's any risk of a bar fight, I'm pulling you out of there. You know what it's about? The disrespect of employees to employers. That's what this is about.
Oh, is that what this is about? Well, I'm really happy that you got to the point about what this is about.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about.
Okay, so this is about the disrespect of employees to employers. And I don't respect you because...
You don't respect me because you're not doing what I tell you to do.
Well, there you go. That's my life. I got to get my prostate exams and my wife's mammograms and everything else out so that this guy can see them. And that's for what purpose again?
I told you, Henry, because we got a lot of money tied up in your ass.
And everybody else is...
Everybody else is dispensable. And I also want to talk to your head shrinker.
Great.
What's with the silence?
Because I guess I'm done talking. I'll have all that crap ready for you.
Oh, boy.
This is 2 days in a row I've had you on in the 5 o'clock hour here, or whatever hour this is, huh? And you still piss me off.
That's right. I ought to be back on again tomorrow.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. Lloyd from yesterday's program talked to a lady about, well, he's an RV owner, and he's just going to drive that thing all over Hell's Half Acre. In fact, some guy flipped him the bone, and he took a cat out of his wife's lap, threw it through the window of his RV, and it stuck to the head of some guy in a convertible. Anyway, here's the story.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I don't have any idea why any organization that represents A, senior citizens, and B, senior citizens that drive would have
I know
representative of their organization.
I know what you're getting at. I threw the cat as a last resort.
I'm not talking about the cat, sir.
Caroline, did you party last night?
No, sir. I don't drink, sir.
Have you ever had a rum and coke?
All right. Well, we stick to the point here, please. So, Caroline, you think that the guy...
She has no problem with me throwing the cat.
Do you have any problem?
Actually, sir, I have a big problem with you throwing the cat. I have a very big problem with the fact that you keep referring to the Korean War as if it's some sort of a badge to be worn as you're the only person that went to Korea. I lost a lot of friends in Vietnam, and I could really... You know what, sir? I wish that you had stayed in Korea, because... Lord knows, we certainly don't need you here.
Are you kidding me? I fought for this country. I came back and started one of the most successful heating and plumbing businesses in the San Gabriel Valley. I had a daughter and a grandson. My wife and I retired 4 years ago. I sold the business to my son-in-law. I'm here at Burning Man. I've had 2 rum and cokes and 2 Tylenol 3s, and I feel great. And I'm sorry that I threw a cat at a man's head, but he tossed me a bone, and a man doesn't do that to a Korean War veteran. Nobody. And I mean, no, I don't care if it's Jesus Christ himself, you don't tailgate me. And I'll tell you something else, Caroline, that you may not like. I don't have my clothes on right now.
You know, he thinks it's a big joke, huh?
Yeah, you know
that's
what?
One of the things you do at Burning Man.
This radio show has given you a large gift.
Have my clothes on because that's what we do at Burning Man. It's not sexual.
Well, you know, if I were anywhere near the lady, if I were anywhere near you, I would try as hard as I could to imitate that Korean woman because you are a joke, sir. You
Wait
are an
a second.
Absolute joke.
I'll tell
and
you this one.
You have taken advantage of this radio station, and you have really taken advantage of me as a new listener,
Caroline,
and you have offended people
in
general.
Wait a minute. When I lost weight, my
And let me ask you a question.
Bigger.
You said that you threw the cat, you looked around for a weapon, and that cat, Pepper, was sitting on your wife's lap.
That is correct.
Wouldn't it have been easier just to pick your wife up and throw her through the window?
No, it wouldn't have. She weighs much more, and I happen to love my wife very deeply.
But you're a Korean War veteran. You're in shape.
I don't
you
see
should
my...
be able to pick up anything.
The cat has claws. It's more mobile. when you use a cat in a defensive situation...
Sir, you are an absolute ass. And I hope that enough mental health people and enough people in law enforcement have listened to this conversation. And by the end of it, somebody will send some sort of a vehicle with a straitjacket to your location and take you away for a very, very long time. Because Lord knows, the general population of this planet does not need to be subjected to you.
My wife would not have fit out the window if you thought about that comment. You'd realize what a stupid comment it was. How do you throw a full-grown woman out of a...
Oh, come on. You're the guy that tossed a cat.
You are not listening, sir.
Well, I'm not going to throw my wife, the mother of my daughter, out a window just so she can do the splits on some guy's head.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Well, Lloyd, I agree with that, man. I wouldn't do that either. I would not throw my wife out of a window just so she could do the splits in some guy's head, and neither should you. On the other hand, I would throw my wife out of a window for a few other things, but... All right, anyway, yeah, on the 27th to the 20th, let's get on to something really fun. Let's talk about our Phil Hendry Show Live at the Luxor in Las Vegas party on September the 27th to the 29th. Now, remember, these are limited. There's a limited number of packages. So if you think for 1 minute you're going to sit on your hands until, you know, the last week in September and you're going to get in on this, good luck, Charlie. It ain't going to happen. As a matter of fact, if you keep waiting till, say, the middle of September, it ain't going to happen. If you think, well, you know, maybe I'll put it off until, probably like the first week in September. Uh-uh. No, these babies are going fast. So let me just tell you. They're $348 packages, and they include the following. VIP tickets to the Hendry Happy Hour and live broadcast. On Saturday night, join me in the Luxor's amazing Raw Nightclub for our exclusive Blues and Brews party. You'll get two nights lodging for two at the Luxor in Las Vegas. That's the Friday night and Saturday night. You get two passes to the Oasis Spa, two tickets to the King Tut Museum. Everybody attending will receive a special gift from me. We're putting together some party packs. And it's a package deal worth over $500. $348 is our price. And to assure your place with me at the Luxor Las Vegas, you have to call the Luxor Las Vegas reservation line right now. That number, 1-800-288-1000. That's 1-800-288-1000. Tell them you want the Phil Hendry package. Additional nights at standard rack rates are available for purchase before or after the event, but you got to be 21 years of age to book. And forget getting into our VIP party unless you have a ticket. 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. All VIP guests get free access into the Raw after our parties. That's pretty cool. That's an over $80 value. Okay, so call the number 1-800-288-1000 for the Phil Hendry package.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, it won't be long now. The ballplayers are going out on strike. Am I right or am I wrong? If there's a God in heaven, if there's a God in heaven, and if I say my prayers at night in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen, they'll be walking at midnight. But only time will tell. Now, there was a very funny thing here on the ESPN webpage, shocking moments in baseball history. Here is what ESPN considers to be the shocking moments in baseball history. Number one, the Black Sox scandal of 1919. Big wow. So a couple of guys got together, took some money, and threw the 1919 World Series. Was that even, did they even play with a live ball then? Were they using bats then, or weren't they using, were they using something else? Cricket mallets? Was it even the same game? You think of baseball in 1919. First of all, the uniforms they wore look like they're made out of canvas. Secondly, even the youngest guy on the team looks like he's 104. You ever seen those old pictures of those guys that played ball in 1919? The youngest guy on the team will say, like, here's 19-year-old Dizzy Dean. And the guy looks like there's no teeth, you know, and he's lost all of his hair. Looks like he just went through a radiation sickness. Then they show one of the pitchers going into the windup. Jesus, what is that? It's a windup, or is he trying to get his underwear unloosened from his crack? They show those guys into the follow-through, right? You see a baseball pitcher today in a follow-through, big, long stride, the arm extended out. He looks cool, and he looks lean, and he looks long, and he's got the cool-looking uniform. It's a color. The guy's in the follow-through in 1919, you know what he looks like? He looks like he just got out of bed, and he's trying to loosen a turd or something, or just trying to get the colon moving. They all look old and sick. So they didn't even play baseball in 1919. You take any of those guys and put them into a major league lineup today, well, they wouldn't make the lineup. None of them would make a major league lineup today. Not a one. Number two, Lou Gehrig struck down in the prime of life. Sad. Lou Gehrig had Lou Gehrig's disease. And he was the record holder for the most consecutive games played, 2,130, 14 seasons. But on May the 2nd, 1939, after performing poorly and feeling weak and sluggish, he benched himself to end the streak, and that was the last game he would play. And a month later, he was diagnosed with this Lou Gehrig's, which they call Lou Gehrig's disease. It's called some kind of a sclerosis, a lateral sclerosis. 2 weeks later, a shocked public learned of his fate. Then he had the big speech, and it was very sad. But what was sadder was the movie that Gary Cooper made about it. Man, you ought to see Gary Cooper trying to play Lou Gehrig. First of all, they had to reverse the film so it looked like he's a lefty. Second of all, when he was playing Lou Gehrig at the age of 21, what's Gary Cooper? Guy, even when Gary Cooper was 21, he looked like 65. Number three, the Dodgers and the Giants leave New York. That's shocking? That's the best thing that could have happened to those teams. Yes, I know they had fans. It's just great. Fact of the matter is, three ball clubs for New York City, that's like one too many. So let's get a couple of them out of there, stick the Mets in there. The Mets are a lot more fun. Giants go to San Francisco, Dodgers come to L.A., the Dodgers sell out the Coliseum, the Giants played up at whatever it is they played at, Candlestick Park, where you sit up there and you get frostbite for the first three innings. You sit in a ballpark that is right out on the bay, that Candlestick Park, and then they enclosed it, didn't help at all. But the wind would go through this. Some genius said, I know, let's build a baseball stadium right on the edge of an enormous body of water. And then at night, say around 8 o'clock, when the wind whips in through the gate, well, it'll be about 14 below. How much fun are we having? See, I personally went to ball games at Candlestick. I liked it. I could care less. And all the complaining about the cold would, I never got it. But if that's what they, you know, everybody else around you would be bellyaching, and plus the Giants would be wearing another big, and the Padres are building their new stadium on the bay. Ain't that a little wishful thinking for you guys down there? You sure you're going to have a ball club? Let me get this straight. You guys are building the Padres a new stadium, and you're letting the Chargers leave town. This is why I love San Diego. This is why I love San Diego, and this is why I don't live in San Diego. Let's let the Chargers leave, one of the most beloved football teams in the history of the National or the American Football League, and let's keep the Padres, who, in the words of Tommy Lasorda, couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. The Padres. Oh, my God. And they're going through an enormous stadium fight down in San Diego. And on top of it, they're going to put it right there out on the ocean, man. With any luck, baby, you can have a nice wide open outfield fence there. And everybody will freeze their ass off down there, too. Unbelievable. The Padres came into existence, what, 1969? They went to the World Series in 84. Of course, who hasn't been to the World Series, all right? In other words, going to the World Series, if you don't go to the World Series, you must have Lou Gehrig's disease. You must have some of that lateral sclerosis, pal, because everybody goes to the World Series. The Florida Marlins won the World Series. If you don't get to the World Series, there's something seriously wrong. You better have yourselves checked in. Maybe you guys ought to change out of them flannel or those canvas uniforms and get some of them cool-looking, some of those double knits that they wore in the 70s. Put on those pajama bottoms. All right, number four, Thurman Munson is killed in a plane crash. Munson, the Yankees catcher and first captain since Lou Gehrig, died on August 2nd, 1979, while trying to land his plane at Akron Airport. The plane crashed and burst into flames, trapping Munson inside. Munson, a seven-time, they really needed to give me all of that detail, didn't they? It'd be nice enough just to say, Mr. Munson died in a plane. The plane crashed and burst into flames, trapping Munson inside. Why don't you just also put in, the screams of Mr. Munson could be heard for blocks around as people tried to pry the door open. Then his flaming body came flying out, and I mean, as rescuers ran up to the window, they saw his face pressed against it with his hands screaming, help me! Good God. Munson was a seven-time All-Star, hell of a ball player, big, burly guy with a big mustache. If you ever saw Thurman Munson, he was the 1976 MVP, he was the Rookie of the Year in 70, he was 32. Billy Martin cried like a baby, according to a team spokesman. In number five, the Mets beat the 100-1 odds and win the 69 World Series. This is a shocking event. Just because there's a bunch of lunkhead bettors in Las Vegas that don't know whether the Mets are going to win a World Series or not, doesn't mean that they're that big of a long shot. And today, as I said, everybody wins the World Series. The Mets winning the World Series in 69, isn't that strange when it's put up against the Diamondbacks and the Marlins? The Mets. This is shocking. Number six, Mike Kekic and Fritz Peterson swap lives. The big story of spring training 1973 was that Yankee pitcher Mike Kekic and Fritz Peterson, who had been teammates and friends, had gone the free-swinging 60s sexual revolution one better. They not only swapped wives, they had, as Kekic said, swapped lives. It began in 72 and the couples on a double date joked about wife swapping. A while later, the joke became reality as Marilyn Peterson and Susan Kekic sometimes switched beds. Finally, during the off-season, Mike moved in with Marilyn and Fritz moved in with Susan. They had swapped it all, wives, houses, cars, and kids. We didn't do anything sneaky or lecherous. There isn't anything smutty about this. Before long, Mike and Marilyn split, but Susan and Fritz got married in 1974. This was shocking. The only problem is nobody heard about this. Did you hear about this? I had no freaking idea. Yeah, that's shocking. It's so shocking it didn't make one newspaper. What? Number seven, Eddie Waitkus shot by obsessed fan. Road trips are often filled with surprises, but Eddie Waitkus was with Chicago for a series. He's in Chicago for a series against the Cubs. He played for the Phillies. Some chick named Ruth Ann Steinhagen sent a note to him inviting her to her room. He thought the 19-year-old was just a good old-fashioned willing groupie, and then she blew him away. For 2 years, you've been bothering me, and now you're going to die, she said, and then she shot him in the chest. She called the front desk and told them what she'd done. Waitkus was rushed to the hospital, and he was saved. The bullet had just missed his heart. Steinhagen was arrested and charged with attempted murder, but got off with 3 years in a mental institution after being diagnosed with a split personality. She didn't know Waitkus, but had been obsessed with him for years. He returned to baseball in 1954, and he was named the Comeback Player of the Year. Ain't that what The Natural? Did you see the movie The Natural? But the guy got shot. And then finally, at number eight, the Red Sox World Series win goes between Buckner's legs. And everybody, we've seen that time and again where Billy Buckner could have got the ball. Number nine, Daryl Kyle found dead in a hotel room on June 22nd. And number 10, Disco Demolition Night. See, these are really not all that shocking. I've got a list of things that are shocking in baseball. These are the most unmentioned shocking moments in baseball. John Kruk has only got one testicle. Nobody mentions that. Some of you people may not know this, but Doc Ellis of the Pittsburgh Pirates pitched a no-hitter against the San Diego Padres back in the early 70s while on LSD. He did. Sandy Koufax didn't pitch on Rosh Hashanah. Joe DiMaggio slept with Marilyn Monroe. That's shocking. Steve Howe snorted more coke than the entire Major League Baseball roster during his time in Major League Baseball, and Mickey Mantle could put away more juice than W.C. Fields, Lionel Barrymore, Oliver Hardy, and Babe Ruth put together. Joe DiMaggio slept with Marilyn Monroe. Did I mention that? Also, the entire redneck roster, the St. Louis Cardinals, refused to take the field against the Brooklyn Dodgers because they had a black guy on their roster named Jackie Robinson. Now, that's shocking. Billy Martin, Mickey Mantle, and Ralph Terry busted up the Copacabana in New York one night after about 50 drinks, throwing tables and chairs through windows. Joe DiMaggio slept with Marilyn Monroe. By the way, Joe DiMaggio, according to the book A Hero's Life, was a real piece of crap as a human being. Willie Mays and Hank Aaron were not allowed to stay in the same hotel as their teammates because they were black. How about that for a shocking moment? And by the way, Ty Cobb was probably the most hated player in the history of the game. And oh yeah, Joe DiMaggio slept with Marilyn Monroe. There's some shocking moments for you in the history of Major League Baseball. 1-800-449-8686. Anybody else got any others? We'd be happy to hear, maybe, from you. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Here it is. Listen to this. Listen to this. Los Angeles, April 8th, 1984. Well, this is taken from... This is taken from a website called the Psychedelic Shakespeare Solution. Former Pittsburgh Pirate pitcher Doc Ellis... Forget about that date I just gave you. Former Pittsburgh Pirate pitcher Doc Ellis... says he was under the influence of LSD when he pitched a 1970 no-hitter against the San Diego Padres. Ellis, now coordinator of an anti-drug program in Los Angeles, said he didn't know until 6 hours before his June 12, 1970 no-hitter that he was going to pitch. I was in Los Angeles and the team was playing in San Diego, but I didn't know it. I had taken LSD. I thought it was an off day. That's how come I had it in me. I took the LSD at noon. At 1 p.m., his girlfriend and trip partner looked at the paper and said, "Doc, you're pitching today." That's when it was $9.50 to fly to San Diego. She got me to the airport at 3:30. I got there at 4:30, and the game started at 6:05. It was a twi-night doubleheader. I can only remember bits and pieces of the game. I was psyched. I had a feeling of euphoria. I was zeroed in on the catcher's glove, but I didn't hit the glove too much. I remember hitting a couple of batters, and the bases were loaded two or three times. The ball was small sometimes, the ball was large sometimes, and sometimes I saw the catcher, sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I tried to stare the... Ha! Wow! Sometimes I tried to stare the hitter down and throw while I was looking at him. He'd throw the ball, not looking at the catcher, but throwing at the hitter. I chewed my gum until it turned into powder. They say I had about 3 to 4 fielding chances. I remember diving out of the way of a ball I thought was a line drive. I jumped, but the ball wasn't hit hard, and it never reached me. The Pirates won the game 2-0, although Ellis walked 8 batters. It was the high point in the baseball career of one of the finer pitchers of his time and arguably one of the greatest achievements in the history of sports. He pitched a no-hitter on acid. Did you dig that? I mean... I can totally relate to the guy chewing his gum until it's powder. You know, you don't even remember to get another piece of gum. And then this cat is, he's throwing the ball, and sometimes you didn't see the catcher. He doesn't remember hitting the glove too much. The dude must have had some incredible stuff, though, if you think about it. I mean, just incredible. He walked 8 batters, which is not really a great game, and yet somehow nobody got the ball out of the infield on him. Or nobody hit the ball, you know, nobody got a hit. Arguably one of the greatest achievements in the history of sports. I think you have to say yes. I think you have to say, is that a greater no-hitter than any than the no-hitter that Don Newcomb, who pitched the perfect game? Ralph Larson pitched the perfect game. Is his name Ralph Larson? Don Larson. Don Larson pitched the perfect game in the World Series, the only perfect game ever pitched the World Series. But he did that sober. Doc Ellis went out and no-hit the... Of course, he was no-hitting the Padres. And you guys who are San Diego Padre fans, let's think about this in terms of not so much a great achievement by Doc Ellis, but just how bad was your team back in 1970 that you couldn't hit some guy who is peaking on freaking purple microdot. Good Lord. Craig says to me, let's see you do a radio show on acid. It's a whole different thing. First of all, if I take a hit of acid and I come in here and do this show, everybody's going to know it. But apparently Doc Ellis walked out there and twirled a no-hitter and nobody knew what was up. I have to say, among the many things that I think are interesting about that story, the very fact that this guy went to the game. I mean, it's 3:30 in the afternoon, the guy's on a hit of acid, and somebody says, you're pitching tonight, that Doc Ellis sucked it up. He cinched it up, and he got into his car and drove down there and said, hi, I'm here. You ready to go? Sure. I'm going to come up with any freaking reason in the world not to pitch that game. Here is Mike on the Phil Henry Show. Mike?
Hey, Phil, come on. It was the Padres. That's why it was a no-hitter. He could have been throwing it all over the place.
Well, I just said that, but there's, of course, this other fact. The Padres have, you know, not every game is a no-hitter against the Padres. In fact, how many times have the Padres been no-hit?
Well, that I don't know.
I mean, how many times?
I'll see you.
How many times?
See you in Vegas, buddy.
Okay. He doesn't want to talk to me. He just wants to tell me he's seen me in Vegas. How many times has Nolan Ryan faced the Padres and not no-hit him? How many times did Tom Seaver face the Padres and not pitch a no-hitter? How many times did Steve Carlton face the Padres and not pitch a no-hitter? How many times? You get my opinion? Yeah, you get my drift? Do you, you think I'm on acid? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Las Vegas. The guy was just mentioning Vegas, and that's where we're going to be. We're going to be doing the Phil Henry Show live at the Luxor Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, of course, on September the 27th to the 29th. The package is $348. You got to be there for this. You not only have the Henry Happy Hour party to go to, you'll see a live broadcast of our show. You'll be at our Blues and Brews listener party the following night, Saturday night. You get 2 tickets to the Oasis Spa, 2 tickets to the King Tut Museum. Of course, you've got lodging for two nights at the Luxor Las Vegas, and a gift from me for everybody that's attending. It's only $348. Don't forget those VIP passes to the parties. Call 1-800-288-1000 for the Phil Henry package. There are a limited number of packages available, so make your reservations now. The number is 1-800-288-1000.
This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, if we're talking about Doc Ellis's LSG trip, you know, where he dropped acid and no-hit the Padres, you have to go all the way back to April of 1943. It was April 19th of 1943 when Albert Hoffman, who was a doctor in Switzerland, took 250 milligrams of LSD and embarked on the first ever acid trip. And it was from there forward until we arrive at Doc Ellis in 1970 that LSD had its impact. LSD was used by the CIA in 1951, 2 years after it arrived in the United States. It was called Operation Bluebird to investigate mind control techniques. Bluebird's objective was to create an exploitable alteration of personality. Weird. Then in 53, experiments testing LSD's usefulness in mind control techniques took place. In November, a CIA employee, Frank Olson, who had secretly been given LSD, is so distraught after the event, he commits suicide by jumping out of a hotel window in New York. In England, the first LSD clinic opens to the public for therapeutic purposes. 1955, Aldous Huxley, who is an author, takes LSD. In the mid-50s, the first use of LSD and other psychedelics for social instead of clinical purposes by intellectuals and literary figures takes place in Los Angeles. And in 1957, the term psychedelic is invented by Humphrey Osmond to describe chemicals like LSD. Well, there you go. And then we had Doc Ellis. Ha! The first recorded acid trip. How does that happen? Some Swiss scientist, he'd just been drinking some cocoa for the evening, he's about ready to put himself to bed, and suddenly this guy, and the guy was working on some way to cure migraine headaches. Oh, this looks pretty good. It'll probably, you know, help the blood vessels to relax. I'll just drop it. And the next thing, his pillow turns into a Persian cat and crawls up his ass. So that's, yeah, you got a headache? No, I ain't got a headache anymore, I'll tell you that, but I don't know where I am. Jesus! Give me some of that, will you? You got a headache? Yeah, I got the headache, but suddenly it's like cool to have a headache. You know, I'm kind of noticing the headache. All right, Mrs. Brown, you just take this. Now, the walls are going to breathe for about 8 hours, but other than that, you're going to feel really good. The headache's going to go away, all right?
Yes.
However, you'll see patterns in the dichondra out here. I hope that doesn't bother you too much. And when my hand goes like that, there's going to be a whole bunch of hands. All of this together, I'd rather have the migraine. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Anybody see American Idol last night? You didn't? Well, okay. I watched it with my daughter. She's totally into it. And we saw the one girl get voted off, the redhead. Her name's Nikki. It's funny, Nikki. Craig's girlfriend's a redhead. Her name's Nikki. And Nikki got voted off because she, I guess she sucked. I don't get it. They all have really good voices. The girl that's going to win, what's her name, Kelly? Kelly's going to win. She got a great voice, and she does that whole thing with the voice. The new model is the Michael Jackson, Mariah Carey model, which is, it's like a 500 notes with one in one syllable. You could say, you know, meat head, and it has 16 syllables. Meat head. Okay, that's the modern singing thing. So she's got that down. Now, the other kid is the kid, he's got the fro, what's his name? Justin. He's good. He ain't that great. I think he's going to get hammered next week. But the thing that I thought was fascinating about, the thing that I continue to think is fascinating about American Idol is the way the crowd seemingly identifies with the performers. They have their hands folded, and they have this look of sincere angst on their face, as if they, and they have big posters, "We love you, Justin," and we dig. Now, can I ask you a question? Am I an idiot, or is that all set up by the network? Or are those real people? Okay, see, look at the schmuck that I am. I thought they were real kids that would go in and look really like they dig what's happening, but what you're telling me is like an American Bandstand setup. Where, remember all those kids in Bandstand that dance really cool? Turned out you had to audition, huh? They're all just placed there. They're actors and actresses who, well, they've created a show, which is cool. It's fine. Look at me. I'm the king of chumping people on the radio, and I'm all, like, offended that Fox is doing it.
Hey, that's not really fair, man. Yeah, but people don't really put their...
Well, what are you doing every day of the week, Henry?
Most days, anyway.
But I watch the show, and my daughter is just completely swept up in this. Catherine just couldn't wait. And I said, well, I want to watch American Idol tonight. And she goes, okay. And all night long, she's following around. 9:05, it'll be on soon. I got it. I'm going to sit down. Come on, sit down. She's grabbing me. I plop down on the thing and watch this show. And to me, the amazing thing about it, like I said, was this. I'll tell you one thing, man. They really got it worked so that you're hanging on the edge. You're hanging on the edge waiting for something to happen. Guys, it's coming up. We're going to find out whether Tina makes it. But what's going on now in all of these programs is the loser no longer is graciously, well, you know, you did a great job and we've got a consolation prize. It's just kind of, they make them bleed a little, don't they? You know, like in Survivor, Bob, park your ass out in the street. You're gone. That's basically what they say. And if it's little Nikki last night, Nikki, step forward. Your history. Come on, and then they zoom in on the tears, and then they did kind of a retrospective, just like a Survivor. Ed,
yeah,
beat it. Do I get a consolation? No, you don't get anything. Get out. 1-800-449-8686. What do we got here? This is Jeff. Hi, Jeff. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Phil. You can settle a bet. Me and my friend have a bet if you could settle it.
Okay.
Because it's about American Idol.
Go ahead.
Is Ryan Seacrest a homosexual? Because you're the... No, man, I...
Oh, wait. No, I don't know the answer to that definitively, but I would say it's no.
See?
Bullcrap!
See?
Bullcrap!
See?
All right, fine. Did I settle it?
Yeah, because I was trying to bet...
Well, wait a minute. I don't know for sure, but I think he goes out with women.
Yeah, what? I said he wasn't, but my friend Toby Bow and I, who were watching last night, because of the way the guy's whole rhythm's gay.
No.
All right. See? See?
All right. Let's take a break. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
On the eve of the baseball strike, here's some other great news from the world of baseball. Cap Anson. Many people have said, well, who, isn't that the guy that was in the Klan? That's right. He was in the, and is in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, but he was also in the Ku Klux Klan. And Cap Anson once said that he would not step onto the field with no damned N-word. He further, inflaming a situation that his baseball team's management had thought was resolved, loudly reiterated this demand upon arriving at the baseball park. He said this to the paper. Then he said it when he arrived at the park against some team. Anson later made fun of the team's mascot, who was a black guy, saying, quote, get that N off the field. He threatened to go home to Chicago without playing the game, but he soon relented after a period of confusion, yada, yada, yada. He told the Toledo Blade, a newspaper, we'll play this here game, but we won't play never no more with the N in, the N-word in. We'll play this here. I'm glad they quoted him accurately. We'll play this here game, but we won't play never no more with the N-word in the game. Later on, Cap was said to have, I guess he ran into some tough luck later on in his life. He was playing in the minor leagues in Cleveland and in Newark and other cities. In 1887, he threatened to cancel an exhibition game against the Newark team rather than face the black players of that team. They both remained on the bench for the duration of the game because Cap had this big hissy fit. He didn't want to play with no blacks. This campaign of his to keep black guys out of baseball began to have an effect after the season. Newark released all of its black players, despite the fact that one of its players, George Stovey, had 33 wins as a pitcher. By 1889, the only remaining black player in the league was one guy playing in Newark, a guy by the name of Walker. His name was Moses Walker, but he got out, and he died in Cleveland, and there were no more black guys. All thanks to Cap Anson, who's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Exactly what's he in the Baseball Hall of Fame for? I mean, seriously, I don't know. I don't know anything about the guy. He's got a stupid name, and he seems like a real piece of crap, but maybe he played baseball pretty good. But he don't want to play no N-words with this here game. 1-800-449-8686. Phil, so tonight, just what we wanted to do is, you know, here on the eve of the strike, is bring out some of the nicer things about baseball, some of the joyful moments, some of the cool things that have gone down through the years. Babe Ruth and kept Hormel in business, Hormel and Bush in business for 15 years, slopping down them hot dogs and drinking those suds. Down through the years, some of the great moments in baseball history. 1-800-449-8686. We got a email here, and it's our uplifting email, Bud. Did you want to read it?
Yeah. This email comes from a lady who says, quote, once fooled but forever amused by your show.
Once fooled but forever amused by our show. That's a good slogan.
Yeah, she wants that to be a slogan, and she's a listener since November of 97. Says, Phil, you're a genius. Signed, Areola.
Signed what?
Areola.
Areola. Let me see that. Aurelia.
That's the nipple, right?
No, man.
Yeah, it says here, Areola, the nipple.
That's Areola. This is Aurelia, not Areola. Can't you read one thing here, man, without bringing some kind of a sexual theme into the program?
Areola is a nipple, isn't it?
That's what said, a nipple.
It says Aurelia, you don't say Areola.
What an ass, boy, that's too bad.
Yeah, that's right, it's too bad that I'm such an ass. Anyway, thanks, Aurelia. That's once fooled but forever amused by your show, listener, since November of 1997. What else you got?
Hey, anyone here? This is from Denver, Colorado. Dear Phil, love your program. Hope you can do your show in Denver someday. Sincerely, Dick.
Do you have to be a child?
You know, let's see, it says here, Dick and Peter.
Well, what is it, two guys?
Yeah.
All right, bud, don't point it up, man. Just read it, okay?
That's funny.
That's funny, yeah. Thank you for writing to us, Dick and Peter.
All right, here's one, and this is from a lady who says, Phil, I love your program. You should do more talking about your family. Her name's Cheryl.
Okay, what's wrong with that?
Don't you get it?
Get what?
Cheryl.
Her name's Cheryl. No, I don't get it. You know what, man? Go over there and play with yourself. You got to laugh at everybody's name. What a child. Seriously, bud.
Yeah.
Can't read an email on this program, man. 1-800-449-8686. Thank you. Our email address, by the way, is phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com. And occasionally we go through all of that stuff. And, you know, every now and again, man, we'll pull an email out that we like and we'll read it on the air. Here's something that I was mentioning a few weeks ago. Here's a Catholic priest that's suing somebody that accused him of sexual molestation. Some of these guys are, who they say have been falsely accused, are turning around and suing people for making the claim. Priests in the Diocese of Cleveland, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, St. Louis, and Orange County, California have recently filed defamation lawsuits. A sixth priest has filed a defamation claim under church law in the Diocese of Trenton. The share of clergymen taking this approach is small compared to the number who resigned or were suspended this year over allegations of sex abuse, but there's a whole lot of guys that are still doing it. They're suing people if they are claiming that they've been sexually abused, and it's crap. Now, see, that's the other side of the story. And everybody thinks that the courts are loaded up with a lot of meaningless litigation. I like these kind of lawsuits. Just like I like the fact that O.J. Simpson got sued and they got $33 million or whatever it is they're going to get out of him. You know, if the criminal court doesn't do the job, then sometimes a civil court can help you out. And if you run around calling a guy a child molester and you don't really have any proof for it, guess what? You can get sued for slander. Now, I'm saying it's a bad crime. It's a horrible crime. But you can't go around calling everybody you see a child molester. Victims said the defamation claims violated the spirit of what they were trying to do. Priests in Tulsa and St. Louis sued accusers who had not even filed suit, but had made their allegations privately to the diocese or civil authorities. So these guys are turning around and suing, and that's the other side of that game. However, the problem is if they get any bread, they can't. Where are they going to put it? They got an oath of poverty, don't they? They got to take an oath of poverty, chastity, and obedience. You know who's going to get it? The Pope. He doesn't take that oath. So if we're like, he couldn't take that oath. Exactly, they got an oath of poverty. Who does get the bread in the Catholic? Somebody is living large. I don't know who. They ain't putting it all in real estate. What are they doing? They're just sticking it in the gold bars, man, let it collect interest? They got a vow of poverty, chastity, and obedience. All right, well, all I got in the church are priests anyway. I guess the only guys that are making out are any lay, if you'll pardon the expression, lay employees. What are you going to do, buy a new hat with all that money? If the church has got $300 million or $500 million, say that L.A. County Diocese has got some kind of $100 million in real estate, who's getting all the bread off the rent? It's still going to Bank of America and collecting interest. Maybe they took a pretty good hit with the stock market going to the crapper, and they don't have all that money anymore. I don't know. But you know what? That's why they got all the gold chalices and the big gold crosses, and they've got those big churches, because they can't give the money to anybody. They got to stick it into the hardware. I know what's happened. The nuns are going to Disneyland. They're the ones that are benefiting from all the money. And then Target apparently didn't know it, but they had the 88... These clothes are called 88, they're caps and shorts and printed with 88, or the number 88. Apparently among white supremacists, that stands for Heil Hitler, because H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. So the Minneapolis-based chain told all of its 1,100 stores to stop selling the clothing. A customer in Davis, California alerted Target. Target apologizes for any discomfort that may have been caused by the baseball caps and shorts carrying the insignia 88. Target is also sorry that we were carrying for a long time baseball caps and shorts with a swastika on them. We had no idea what that represented to so many people. Target further apologizes for merchandising rugby shirts with a Confederate flag on the back. And the saying, N-word, don't let the sun set on you. We had no idea that this was a bad thing. Target sincerely apologizes for whatever mishap and mistakes and, you know, all that crap might have happened. Thank you, Target. Target also apologizes this time. We had absolutely no idea that we had a big Jesus on the back of our shirt. Some Mexicans were making long pilgrimages to the Target store in Minneapolis. In a related story, by the way, someone in Newfoundland saw Jesus on the side of a donut shop, so we're going to have to get into that. By the way, Krispy Kreme stock is way up. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show, our website, philhenryshow.com. You can have a backstage pass, and all that is $6.95. That lets you into our website, and with a $6.95 backstage pass, you get all of our classic radio audio, you get all of our 30-day audio, you get all of our website audio, you get everything, man. You get our live streaming, you can listen to the show anytime, anywhere, any place, anywhere in the world. It's only $6.95 a month. You can get a 12-month subscription, you can get a 6-month subscription, you can save a lot of bread on that monthly rate. So go to philhenryshow.com. While you're there, go into our souvenir store and pick up the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt or the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt or some of our best of stuff. That's philhenryshow.com.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
The hell is this? Puff Daddy's having a party tonight?
Birthday party.
Puff Daddy's having a birthday party sometime in the near future, just like I'm having my birthday party, and he's having it tonight. And P. Diddy and Guy Osiri, who's that cat? Anyway, this is the party policy. Check it out. This is on the invitation of Puff Daddy's birthday party. So he's a Virgo like me, huh? Anyway, the dress code must be respected. If your shoes are scuffed, you're going to have a problem. If you're wearing jeans, you're on the wrong track. Pull out the fly vest S-word in your closet or have your stylist pull something for you. Definition of fly S-word? The top designers are, i.e., Sean John Collection, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, YSI, Couture, and Gay. Anything gay. Get this cat, man. Man, I love reading about people that got money. Guys that, you know, guys that are down with threads, it's I've never, ever, and I used to wear it as a badge of honor, but now I'm not so sure. I never knew how to dress, and I used to think, well, that's, you know, because the era was the era of the 70s, which is basically denim jeans, bell bottoms. You didn't really have to go far to know how to dress well. Today, you really have to, you've got to read GQ, you have to... somewhere along the line, you got to get FHM or Maxim or something in your collection and find out what guys are wearing. And so, because I'm married, now I actually have clothes in my closet that are somewhat contemporary, because Maria's always got her eye out for something. I haven't bought clothes in years, because I come home, I got your shoes, they're over there, and I got you some shirt, I got you a shirt to wear Saturday night, I got you a pair of pants to wear Saturday night, got you a belt to wear Saturday night, got you underwear to wear Saturday night, you got to go get your hair cut, there's your shoes. And actually, I like it because shopping with my wife, shopping for clothes with any woman is very embarrassing. And it goes back to when I was a kid. My mother would always do this. Well, his shoulders are really broad, aren't they? You know, it's like you're not there. There's a saleswoman and there's my mom. Uh-huh. Yeah, his shoulders are really broad. See his broad? Stand up straight. Stand up straight. Philip, stand up straight. Look, see, turn around. Well, let's turn around. I think we can do something. Yeah, see how broad the shoulders are? But he's very lean in the waist. And what do you think about a car coat, honey? Jesus, Mark, can I get a windbreak? Oh, no, a car coat. A car coat. A car coat's functional. What the hell is that? What do you mean a car coat? Well, the car coats were hip like in the 50s. They came down like just above the thigh. Yeah, they covered your ass. And by the early to mid-60s, you looked like a freaking idiot in these things. And then, of course, everything had to be six sizes too big because you're going to grow into it. I don't mind that. But I had a problem with being dressed as if I wasn't there. And so it spilled over, and the psychic scar of that has spilled over into my adult life. Now, if I go with my wife and she at the top of her lungs says, "Do you like these shoes? Do you like what? You don't like them? No? Just shut up, William. Yeah, you don't want to. Look. See? See? What about these? No? Well, what do you want?" And I'm like, "Just shut up. Just don't talk to anybody. I'll go over and do our show." What? How about this pair of pants? Do you like the corduroy? The corduroy looks good on you. Would you shut up? I think you should get the corduroy. I really, really, really like the sweater on you. All right. So I said, "Look, I can't do it anymore. I can't go, I'll see if they have a 58-28, okay? Do you have anything in a 50 waist?" God, you know, honey, it's just, "Don't worry, I'll get it. I can't go shopping with you anymore. I don't want to go shopping. All right, I'll go get the stuff." And then, of course, she buys great stuff for me. I mean, honest to God. But I got to hang up on wearing slacks. Slacks are too creased. Slacks they're not as malleable as denim or jeans, you know. But so we went to a dinner party 3 or 4 weeks ago, and she says to me, "Wear the linen slacks. Wear the linen slacks. They're fantastic. They come up to my freaking belly button, and they're too long, and I got no ass in these things. I'm like, I don't want to wear them. Come on, they look really great." Okay. Have you ever seen people who wear clothes and you know they're newly bought and they're not really the clothes they should wear? Do you know what I'm saying? They look totally uncomfortable in them. That's the way I look with a lot of these clothes. You ever seen these people? The guy is walking along with a bag and he has brand new pants with a crease and there's a jacket and a shirt and he has kind of a moderately irritated look on his face and he sits down at a bus bench, right? And you're half expecting somebody to come over. "Hi, Johnny. Okay. The bus will be here for the home in a minute, all right?"
"Thank you."
"Those are nice pants. Nice pants." So there I am standing, you know, "Doesn't he look great?" "Oh, you look sexy, honey." "Gee, thanks. I got on these linen pants and some kind, I think I've blacked out what shoes I was wearing. I blacked it out." "Yeah, they were probably penny loafers. That's why I went through a serious psychic blackout." And then the shirt was some variation on the bowling shirt thing that's so happening now. It's like a long sleeve bowling shirt. And one more thing. Honey, if you're listening, I don't need any more of those bowling-style party shirts with cocktails and booze and cigars on them. I think I have enough of those now, darling. Thank you. I can't wear those to work anymore, honey. Can't wear them to work. Where would have you... Oh, this is a nice... Yeah, it's this shirt with freaking booze all over it. When they took the publicity pictures here, you see those bowling shirts where they have bottles of Corona and tequila and drinks? And geez, here comes Phil and Maria. I wouldn't guess what their favorite pastime is, would we? How many shirts like that have you got, Phil? Yesterday was the tequila, now we got... And then there's the Bill Cosby sweater that she buys me, which is the big, thick, up-to-the-neck, what I call the Bill Cosby sweater, where you have the shirt sticking up. And it's 865 degrees inside that thing. She said, "Wear the shirt. Look, I don't want to wear a shirt to work with booze, bowling pins, and cigars all over it. I just don't want to do it. Why? Because it sends the wrong message that I'm some kind of a drunk. I mean, every shirt I got, I look like Steve Dahl. I'm 580 pounds with a Hawaiian shirt. Everything is a Hawaiian shirt. Wear the Hawaiian shirt. To church? Okay. But one of these days, said, you want me to wear that shirt? I'm going to go to church with you wearing the booze and bowling pin shirt. I dare you to let me go to church with you looking like that. So here's P. Diddy P. Diddy and his party policy. The dress code must be respected. If your shoes are scuffed, you're going to have a problem. If you're wearing jeans, you're on the wrong track. Pull out the fly vest stuff in your closet or have your stylist pull something for you. Definition of fly stuff, the top designers, i.e., Sean John Collection, Gucci, Dolce, Gahana, YSI, Couture, and Versace. Think the Oscars. Think the person you want to marry is inside. Think of me at the CFDA Awards, Kentucky Derby, my New Year's Eve party in Miami, or my Hamptons White Party. Wow. Think of me. Think of how I dressed. These cats, most of these cats in the hip-hop world are seriously, seriously in love with themselves, and they got no, there's absolutely no problem. You know, this is cool. I mean, I'm it. Grooming, fellas. Haircuts, shape-ups, and clean shaves are a must. Ladies, hairdos, waxing, manicures, and pedicures are also a must. What a dick. Extra people. You, your man, your man's man, your cousin, childhood friend, aunt visiting from out of town, etc., will not be admitted and left outside. If your invite is for you only, it's for you only. If your invite is for you and a guest, it's for you and a guest only. This could mean your security. Other than that, have a good time at my party. You know, I really want to go to a party where I need security, don't you? So, you know, it's kind of cool because if you do, you can pick, if you have security, you can go into a party, you could go into a bar, anywhere, and you can say whatever you want and not worry about it sort of bounding back to you in about 20 minutes because some guy got his feelings hurt, right? Because you have security. And so you can act like a hard ass. No wonder all those dwarfs like you know, Billy Martin when he was alive, even Billy could actually fight, but, you know, these guys, these little guys that pick fights, and you wonder what guts he has, but you never really add it up in your head. The guy had six dudes there on the payroll that are 8 feet tall. No wonder he's just running his mouth. Do you like to go to a party where a guy's walking around with security? Makes you feel really loose, doesn't it? All right, anyway, that's P. Diddy's party. If anybody wants to go, the address is 5... I don't have it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, RC, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Phil, great show as always.
Thank you.
You were just talking about the P. Diddy, the P. Diddy invitation, right?
Yes.
Okay, I got the phone number, if you want to give it out on the air, for the RSVP line on account of the P. Diddy party.
Well, now, wait a minute, kid. The information we got at the P. Diddy party with the grooming.
Yeah, that was great. You were reading about how you got to have, like, your butt waxed before you can get in there and stuff.
No, I didn't say. According to the invitation, you got to have really nice clothes, and you got to have your man pick out some really great duds, and you got to have your hairdo done. And
you got to be waxed.
You got to have waxing, and you got to have a manicure, and you got to, your man's man, your cousin, none of these people can get in.
Well, if I gave you the phone number, you should do some stick on it. It'd be funnier than heck.
I don't know, kid.
Please, Phil. Everybody listens to your show on account of you're funny. Please do it.
Well, what do you want me to do?
I want call up the number, and then when they ask for you for to leave the message, you can say funny stuff.
All right. Can I give this number on the air? I mean, do you have the number, kid?
Yes, sir. It's 02.
All right. We've had to dump a lot of that, you guys. I didn't want to give the number out. Okay, so we'll go ahead and Craig's ringing it now, and when we get to the final ring, we'll pot it up, okay?
This is going to be bitching. What are you going to say?
Just don't worry about it. I'll fool around with it.
Yeah. You should say P. Diddy's Is a butt spooge?
No, I'm not. I'll just, Craig, go ahead and bring it up.
Greetings. You have reached the P. Diddy and Gaio Ferry greatest party of all time RSVP
line.
Congratulations on making it this far. Please leave your name and contact information, and one of our agents will get back to you. This is only the first step and does not guarantee your admittance to the party. Thank you and good luck.
Hi, everybody. This is Phil Henry. I'm afraid I can't make it to your party because I don't have the right clothes.
That's great.
Shut up. I don't have the right clothes, and you know, I'm white. Be quiet. But anyway, thank you for inviting me, but I don't have a manicure, and I scratch my butt a lot. Be quiet. That's my brother.
Your brother.
Also, thank you, but I've got a problem with black folks, and it... Shut up! Nothing, I'm just kidding about that problem with black folks. No, I wish you all the best, but I don't have the right, and I don't have my man with me, so... Would you be... Well, tell him to... So I can't make the party, but thank you very much for the invitation. I'm Phil Henry, I'm with the Phil Henry Show. Okay.
That was so bitchin'! Well, he hears that, he'll think you were invited, and they'll probably call you back and go, you're a spooge!
Yeah, that's what he's gonna do. All right, are you happy?
Thanks, Phil!
Good Lord. What the hell am I doing playing phone games at my age? Do you know that's all I do on this show is play phone games? That's all I do on this show. At approaching the ripe old age of 50, I'm playing phone games. I'm just doing voices on phones and calling up P. Diddy's RSVP line for some kid in Chatsworth. Now, check this out. This is great. You're going to love this. 15 Saudis were among the September 11th hijackers. Well, now their government hopes a gift of the Kentucky Derby winner will heal families' wounds. This is true. Saudi Arabia is considering giving a $1 million racehorse to the families of the September 11th victims in an extraordinary attempt to improve relations with the U.S. The gift is part of a $5 million public relations campaign mounted by the Saudi government to rescue its country's reputation in America after it emerged that 15 of the hijackers were Saudi nationals. The Saudis are reported to be considering handing over the horse, which won this year's Kentucky Derby, as part of a commemoration celebration planned for Ground Zero. Can you, I mean, the gall, well... As you know, the horse's war emblem, a great horse, is owned by a Saudi. War emblem was bought in May by the Saudi family. Details of the Saudi offer reported in yesterday's New York Times are supposed to have been kept quiet until a final deal was announced. It is not known how the value of the horse, now estimated to be well over $1 million, would be divided. The Saudis, whose officials in Washington were last night not answering calls, would not want to risk embarrassment by publicly announcing an offer which is then rejected. Well, guess what, pal? The families are absolutely outraged. The families have basically said, no, thank you. We don't want any part of you and any part of the stink of you, so you can keep your horse. Or if you'd like to give it to us, maybe we'll have ourselves a horse cookout. We'll have ourselves a horse-a-cue. Osama bin Laden, quote, could have put any nationality he wanted on those airplanes. He purposely chose Saudis in order to give this operation a Saudi face and drive a wedge between us and America, said an advisor to the Saudi government, a key figure in the PR drive. And you know what? He almost succeeded. Well, you see, the only problem is, pal, your government has supported terrorism, all kinds of terrorism, for years. And I said it, man. I said it right after 9/11. You guys stuck the knife in our back. Why do you think Americans are reacting the way they do against the Saudi Arabians? Because you guys had the big grinning face with the towel, you know, with the towels on your heads, and everybody thought you were so exotic and wonderful and great guys and had all that oil, and you were really a moderating influence in the Middle East. And then we turn around and find out that your police, your Secret Service, and your citizens are involved in sticking a shank so far in our back. We got 3,000 people dead. No, we don't trust you anymore, man. We don't trust you anymore. And your $5 million campaign to try to improve the PR between our countries doesn't even begin to settle the score. And if you honestly believe that you're our best friend in the Middle East, if you are our best friend in the Middle East, man, who needs freaking enemies? Anyway, that's what they tried, but that whole thing is just, it smells. So, I what?
You should call up P. Diddy's line. That was more interesting than talking about some towel wrappers. Why, the other day...
1-800-449-8... Thanks a lot, man. I thought I'd get a little literate here. Phone games, phone games. Do some funny voices on the phone, man. Don't forget our Las Vegas party, the Phil Henry Show. Live at the Luxor in Las Vegas. Including, if I can read it here, free admission into the Raw nightclub after the parties conclude, after our happy hour and after our Blues and Brews party. Free admission into the club, which is about an $80 value for a couple. Call 1-800-288-1000.